approval in November. What form it will take by then remains to be seen. Jaswinder Sehgal, FSRN, Anand, India.
And that does it for this week's program. Today we welcome KYBU, Round Valley Community Radio.
You are tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This is the Friday WEFT Courier. And you can stay with us after the next show for R&B and Hip Hop at 6 p.m., followed by Blues Live at 8 p.m. and the Bachelor Pad at 10 p.m. Well, we'd really like to have a few pledges for this great locally produced Smile Politely Radio, and we'd also like to invite you to come up and have a really great time with us tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. until 7 or 8 p.m. and at our annual street festival, WEFT Fest. We'll be here at the station, we'll be out in the street, and we'll be next door at the Seven Saints patio, and there'll be a lineup of really tremendous music. So come down and have a good time. And now we'll go to this week's edition of Smile Politely Radio.
You are listening to Smile Politely Radio. SmilePolitely.com is the place to go for all things local. Arts, culture, food and drink, music, opinion, tech, and more. I'm Rebecca, and I'm joined this week by Patrick Singer. Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Rebecca.
Patrick is, of course, the managing editor of Smile Politely and kingpin of all things Champaign. Thanks for joining me.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So we're going to talk about Pygmalion, which is coming up in just a couple short weeks. And to get us started, can you introduce us to what the hell is Pygmalion?
What the hell is Pygmalion? Sure. Pygmalion is a culture festival that happens at the end of September every year. This year we're entering year 12. This is the fourth year I've worked with the festival as one of the producers, behind-the-scenes type curators of the festival. It incorporates a lot of different types of components. So there's music. It's predominantly a music festival that's been built out to incorporate all these other components over time. So now it has music, it has a literature component with authors and readers, and a book fair that goes into that component. We also have a Made Fest, which is a craft festival, vintage handmade items. It's a little market that's set up each the second weekend of the festival this year. And last year we incorporated tech for the first time. It was a totally new thing for us in terms of programming and scope. So that was fun to be able to do for the first time, really test things out to see what works and what doesn't. So this is the second year that we've done tech. And then this year we're incorporating a whole new component of food, which is a little bit different than your conventional food festival that you might see in Champaign-Urbana. Essentially, we'll have six restaurants that will be set up on site in order to, you know, they're brick-and-mortar restaurants. So things like Bacro and Black Dog, Maze, Farron's, Big Grove, and Watson's will all be set up, have their micro kitchen set up, serving $4 and $8 dishes, beer and cocktail pairings, fun stuff. So, so now that it's grown into its 12th year, we have all these other, we have all these components that mix together to really celebrate what's going on in Champaign-Urbana. So that's why we call it a culture festival more than anything. Because it's kind of outgrown what you might understand to be a music festival, just by adding more things, more people, more topics, more days. So that's kind of the fun part, because we get to be really creative, and at the same time we get to perpetuate the things that are happening here, whether they're cool restaurants or really brilliant people or really cool bands or really cool makers or things like that. So we're pretty lucky because there's so many different things happening here. So in a broad sense, it has all these things going on, and it's just one event, one singular event filled with tiny events within it. So we're really excited. It happens here in a couple weeks, so we're gearing up. It's really crunch time right now.
So I should mention that we're sitting outside of the Accord on this really lovely porch that's out here. And this is, of course, one of the main venues that Pygmalion is taking place in this year. Could you talk a little bit about the geographies of Pygmalion, where the event's going to take place, and how the festival is going to reshape the downtown area of Champaign?
Sure. Well, this will be actually the fifth year of doing outdoor shows the first year, you know, there's this outdoor component that happens right behind the Accord, which is formerly what the High Dive was. So right in the middle of downtown Champaign, there's this outdoor component. So there's two stages that are set up. And, you know, on the second weekend, the 23rd and 24th of September, we'll have our headlining musicians, Vince Staples, Wolf Parade, Louis the Child, Future Islands, will all be performing out here. So, you know, the festival, as it continues to grow, even though it grows in terms of number of days, this year being two weekends, essentially over 8 days, it's allowed us to really focus on our footprint, which is this area of downtown Champaign, you know, with the Accord being kind of the centerpiece of everything that surrounds it on Friday and Saturday, not just the 16th and 17th of September, but the 23rd and 24th. And then a few days in between, we'll have things that will just be kind of like one-off events. So we'll have a, we are really excited to incorporate Pachacacha this year. They came to us and they presented the idea of folding in their 22nd volume with Pygmalion. So we're really, really excited about that. So that will happen on the 21st, which is a Wednesday. And outside of these days that are happening in downtown Champaign, obviously with Krannert Center and their tremendous support of the festival over many, many years, on Thursday, the 22nd, the festival will essentially take over Krannert Center. You know, we'll have our headlining artists. Frightened Rabbit will headline that night with Carsey Headrest and Always, and a few others. But also we'll have our tech keynote, Dr. Robert Sapolsky. He'll be in the Colwell Playhouse. And then, you know, our headlining lit author, Gene Thompson. And then all the while in the lobby, there will be this very involved tech demo. So everything... everything from wearables to virtual reality, drones, makers, things like that, they'll all be set up in the lobby that evening. So it kind of creates this critical mass of people and things that are happening. And those things have been created here. You know, this virtual reality has been created here. These wearables have been created here. So that's kind of... You know, we learned last year from doing the tech demo for the first time, timing is really important, and the types of things that you present are really important. So we kind of went all in with the demo idea because, I mean, personally, from a personal perspective, the virtual reality and those sorts of things, like, you test those. Yeah, those things you test out, and, you know, they're really engaging. You can interact with it. As a layman... speaking from a personal perspective, as someone who's not developing this sort of technology, when I test it out, it kind of blows my mind. Same thing with, you know, testing out video games. So we'll have a new demo of a new game from Volition, which is a, you know, world-class video game developer that exists here. So, you know, all of these things that are happening, they'll all happen in that capacity at Krannert. So we're really fortunate that they really get on board with our vision, and they're just kind of the best. So they provide an amazing facility for us to take over. So we think that evening will be pretty special because there'll be all sorts of things happening. Whether you're coming to see Frightened Rabbit and you grab a beer and you go test out some drones before you go in, or you know, go watch the keynote for tech, and then afterwards you watch a band in the lobby. Watch Always, which is a band from Polyvinyl, which exists here. So, you know, over the course of, you know, all of these days, there's a lot of different things going on. So, and most, you know, most importantly, most of the programming at Pygmalion is free. So that's one thing that we've really focused on, is making these, well, most of the components as free as we can. Obviously, you got to pay to go see Future Islands or go see Frightened Rabbit or something like that. But most importantly, the Maid Fest is free. The food festival is free. You obviously have to pay when you get there if you want to eat food or drink a beer or buy from a vendor, any number of things. So, you know, those sorts of things have been interesting as the festival continues to grow, how we can continue to incorporate cool programming that saves you on your your ticket price. So obviously you can buy a festival pass and that will get you into all the performances. But, you know, as we continue to kind of develop this thing, it's something we focus on because we want it to be really accessible, but we realize that Pygmalion exists in a certain, you know, not everyone knows who Vince Staples is within a certain realm. But that's kind of okay to us. It's going to be a really fun time. So that's what I can say about the the footprint, I guess, or the scheduling. While it seems like it might be all over the place, you know, it mostly takes place in downtown Champaign and Cranford Center District. We'll have a cool neutral cycle bike ride that will venture into downtown Urbana, stop at Shipyard, and end up at Cranford Center. So, yeah, all of these things are available on our website, so you can see them at the schedule page of our website, and we'll give you a better idea of kind of what you're in for.
Could you talk a little bit about the tech component specifically? So I think that a lot of people associate Pygmalion with music, and we can see the spinoff to other arts. What has it been like to incorporate tech into Pygmalion's focus?
It's been really fun and interesting, first of all, because as a person who's, you know, curating that component of the festival, as someone that's not in tech, I've learned a ton of things just about, you know, not just the nitty gritty, this is what this means or this is what this means, but just the vast array of things that people are developing here is truly insane. So that's been a really rewarding part, at least for me personally. I think that it's been really fun being able to incorporate these things into the festival because so many times you hear about Champaign-Urbana being kind of rolled into these broader things that have happened just in technology, whether it's Mosaic or the first practical usable web browser or things like YouTube and PayPal being developed here. Those are the big ones. But as the University of Illinois continues to churn out these people that are just total geniuses that are really shaping the way that people consume, not just consume technology, but as it becomes a part of people's lives even closer each day, we're really lucky here that we have all these people here that will continue to come here. You know, I met with a gentleman, a PhD student, who is developing drone technology, and he's here from Italy just, you know, because he values the university. So it's, that part is really fun. I think from a programmatic standpoint, you know, doing the tech festival last year for the first time, it was a total blueprint. A lot of things went really well and a lot of things didn't go so well, and that's okay with us. We tried a ton of different things. And the point was, you know, if you try a lot of things and you have to pare them down, ultimately you're going to have a more refined product. So, you know, with that in mind, you know, we learned a lot about like how to do the tech programming logistically, what times work really well for people, what kind of topics are the most interesting or the most well attended. You know, those sorts of things were really interesting to us because we had never done it before. So that was really fun and really stressful and really crazy all at the same time. But, you know, we think now in our second year, we have a better look in terms of, hey, this is what, you know, we've pared this programming down to focus on these things in particular. And that's not to say that we're going to get it right this year either. Well, we did our best to program something really cool. And we think, especially with the NCSA's 30th year anniversary, that
we've kind of... That's the National Center for Supercomputing Applications?
Yeah, exactly. So the NCSA, National Center for Supercomputing Applications, that's a mouthful. They're celebrating their 30th anniversary this year. And, you know, we are friendly with some of the people that are working. They work at NCSA. So, you know, we had these ideas and, you know, we recognize the brilliance of those people and they recognize the value of Pygmalion to this community. So, you know, what better way to kind of, you know, combine the two in order to celebrate things that, you know, have really changed the landscape of innovation over years and years. So we'll be doing we'll have a 30th year anniversary post party on Friday the 16th here at the Accord. It'll be Larry Smarr, Donna Cox, and Ed Seidel. They'll have a roundtable discussion of sorts. They'll reminisce about 30 years of NCSA. It should be really, really interesting. Some stories that people might not even know happened.
So like the inside scoop,
exactly.
How to start a supercomputing center,
totally.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, so it's interesting to have those sorts of things incorporated because it's just a different sort of stage for them, which is really cool and really awesome for us as festival producers, but also because they're brilliant. It's kind of the best of both worlds. So we're really excited about those sorts of things. You know, as we continue to shape the panels and the people that, you know, are coming and speaking about certain topics, you know, we have Research Park, we have the university, we have the private sector, like Wolfram. We have all these really awesome and smart people that exist here, and they're really willing to participate. So, you know, being able to mix all those things together is really fun because you might go to a tech conference that, you know, it's about one topic or like about one sort of thing, and you go there for a particular reason. And, you know, that's all well and good. But the idea of Pygmalion is to incorporate these tech, these aspects of tech that exist here already and put them into one. So, you know, I don't think people know about what kind of drones are manufactured here. I mean, Champaign-Urbana is one of the, you know, one of the best developers of drone technology in the world, whether it's hobby drones or things that are a little more involved in that. So yeah, when it comes to tech, we're still learning about it in a significant way. So even though year two is different than year one, there's no reason why year three is not going to be different than year two and year one. So, we'll just have to see how 2016 goes. All tech programming is free this year. So we think it'll deliver a different approach, than something that might be a little more conventional.
So every year you're mentioning Pygmalion is changing and obviously expanding. Could you talk a little bit about the newest component of the festival, which is food this year?
Yeah, so...
And I guess I should say specifically what I'm interested in is you mentioned a lot of the restaurants that are participating, and those restaurants are familiar faces to people from Champaign-Urbana. So what can people taste and experience at Pygmalion that will be different than what you can usually get going to a downtown for a restaurant? Dinner.
Absolutely. So, you know, we're really lucky that we have really good relationships with a bunch of restaurants based on our ability to work with them through Smile Politely. And, you know, they're our friends. We patronize their restaurants and we eat food there all the time. So, you know, based on those ideas, it's really extraordinarily difficult to produce a food festival and ask a restaurant to bring their chef outside of that restaurant and recreate what they do on site in something that's not their kitchen. So it's a tall order. So we're really lucky that we have such strong relationships with the restaurants that are participating. Obviously there's more than six restaurants in town. But based on that idea, you know, this being our first year, it's a total blueprint as well. So, you know, what people can expect is, you know, restaurants on site here at the Accord, in the parking lot that's outside of it, and, you know, serving a variety of dishes, whether that's a $4 dish or an $8 dish, incorporating local ingredients when they can, you know, serving that up with Goose Island or Triptych Collaborative Beers, or Columbia Street Roastery Coffee, or... you know, other sorts of cocktails that will be made on site. So, you know, it's different in the capacity that it's going to be a challenge. There's no question about that. But we think that ultimately there's no real food event that exists that looks like this one. And that might be because it's a crazy thing to ask. But we think that based on kind of what Pygmalion looks like. You know, it exists downtown. These restaurants exist downtown, with the exception of Mays, and Black Dog now expanding to a downtown Champaign location. It's going to be interesting to, you know, set up these kitchens and have people buy food and see how it goes. You know, we've asked people, say, how many people are going to be there? And like, we have no idea. We think if the weather is really good, you know, the fall, September is a really good month because it's not too hot and it's right on the brink of fall. Mm-hmm. And the students are back, so there's kind of this different sort of atmosphere happening. So with that in mind, we think if the weather is really good, we think it'll be a smash because people like to eat and people like to drink. We think that the scope is an interesting one. So we think if all goes as planned, which granted it won't, and we've done this for a long enough time to know that things will go wrong, we just have to kind of audible the best we can.
So to close this out, I'm curious about your experience with Pygmalion. You were mentioning putting out fires and kind of adjusting to the way that the festival doesn't always go according to plan. What kinds of things do you tend to see, hear, and experience at Pygmalion as one of the organizers?
Well, it's hard to explain. You know, people all the time, they're like, hey, this is what you guys plan all year. I say, yeah, it takes a lot of planning. So I think when it comes to being on site and actually executing the festival, thankfully, we have a ton of really, really good people that help us do it. Everyone from people that handle hospitality for all artists, people that help advance the shows to make sure the bands are all in order, people that help us do promotion and marketing, people who help with stagehands, building the stages, you know, taking out trash, being security, taking tickets. Credit to Seth, who's, you know, built this thing over a long time. We've been able to have a good staff in place to be able to help us kind of control when things might not go according to plan. A band shows up late or, you know, something goes wrong with the sound or something like that. I think from a personal perspective, you know, while it is exhausting and it's crazy while it's happening, and while you might see me, might look like a crazed maniac. you know, really the whole time I'm having fun because, you know, I see people and they're around and they're having a great time, and they might not realize that. You know, they don't see what I see, which is okay. I might see like, oh, this was a problem or this didn't go right. Most people say, oh yeah, everything seemed great. You know, so I think from a personal perspective, producing it each time, you know, I've done it all pretty much. Produced the smaller stages, produced one of the bigger stages outside. Now planning and executing all these tech events and things like that. Really, I think that while it's happening, it's just kind of a blur. But at the same time, I'm really just focused on making sure that people are accommodated and things are going off without a hitch. People are having a good time most than anything. So, you know, from a personal perspective, it's a lot of work, but that's our job, and that's pretty fortunate that this is what we get to do for a living. Produce this festival each year. So I'm sure things will be just fine this year. Things always come up, and that's totally part of the game. But at the end of the day, I'm enjoying everything just like the people that are there at the festival hopefully are. I'm there to watch Vince Staples on stage. I'm really excited about that, just as I was to, you know, be in the crowd for a brief moment while Run the Jewels were playing last year. So, you know, that's kind of the fun part, is because we produce a festival that we would want to attend. That might sound selfish, but I think that over time, you know, we've been to enough festivals, we realize what we like and what we don't like. So that's why we put bands on stage that we love to promote. We want to promote these bands that are coming here because we enjoy their music. That's just kind of the way we are, and we will continue to perpetuate our taste, but also what realize what makes sense here in this particular market, being a college town, but also with all this other existing community around it. So, you know, I'm always learning. I don't get stuff right all the time. I'm very,
really?
I'm very aware of my faults, but I think that helps each time I do another one. Not only does it sneak up on me, I can't believe we're about a month away. It's insane. But also, it's fun to be kind of in the moment, and it sounds cliche, but also, you know, that's what it feels like. It's really fun to do, based on the idea that you're providing an experience for someone, which isn't really like a lot of other jobs. People might think producing event might be, oh, it's just a concert, you know, or it's just a variety of events that happen within one bigger event. But, you know, the fun part is being a part of the experience and getting to do it each year.
It's interesting that this is a culture festival, and, you know, what you were just saying about providing people with an experience, that seems like, to my mind, a lot of what being a performer is. You're providing people with an experience, and it's very contingent upon audience and atmosphere and timing, like all these things that you can think a lot about but not have that much control over. Do you think of yourself as a performer?
Maybe, because I think that, you know, I'm probably more of an orchestrator. I'm probably on the other end of that. Everything that we've done to kind of curate the festival the way that we do, it's all a balancing act in a lot of ways. So I think from my perspective, the thing that I want to do and always am mindful of is presenting the people and the artists as they are and not trying to manipulate what they're doing. There, people are there to watch the people on stage. People are there to listen to the people that are talking about technology. People are there listening to the readers. People are there to interact with vendors. I think that's really important to me, at least. You know, everything is, you know, done in a very, like, specific and deliberate way. You know, one weird look, or I don't want to make somebody talk about something they don't want to talk about or aren't focused on talking about or not experienced enough to talk about. It's the same reason why I'm very, like, particular when it comes to tech programming. You know, I want it to feel a certain way. I want it to feel different. It's the same way with people coming to watch the bands. I don't want, you know, it's just very particular. The presentation is really important to us. That's why everything down to what colors we use or what type of fonts look a certain way or any number of things, the look is very, very important to us. And I think that credit to our brilliant graphic designer, he's been able to kind of build this thing the way it looks. So I think from a producer standpoint, as somebody that helps make the festival exist, that's really important to me, is the people that are saying, hey, I will speak on this panel for Pygmalion. This is great. Thanks for asking me. You know, the bands that are playing or, you know, any different number of people that are involved. It's just, it's about them. And that's what I really focus on. I want people to recognize, oh, this is like something that's happening that's not happening anywhere else. Like, this is a very unique experience that happens here. You're not going to see a panel that might be curated this way. Or you're not going to see Vince Staples and Wolf Parade play on the same stage in within a few hours of each other.
Safe to say that they would rather switch than fight.